don't care if you buy her a drink, but she's not the kind of girl you think. Oh, 'cause back when we were loving, she thought cowboys were something, now they ain't. 'Cause she's over buckles, she's over spurs. To her, you're just a heartache in a pearl snap shirt. Been less old and let go for the
last time. Good morning, good morning, good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas and beyond. Cable Smith here, welcoming each and every one of you fine folks to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. It is so good to be here talking hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, and all that implies with you this morning. I sincerely hope you're having a lovely weekend. Thank you so much for choosing to share a part of it with me, as we've got a great show lined up for you today. So, you know what to do by now. Pour yourself another cup of coffee out of that beat-up old thermos. Pull that stool up a little closer to the campfire here, because we've got a ton to get into, and we're going to start things off today by talking whitetails with our longtime friend, Dr. James Kroll. You might know him as Dr. Deer, and we'll talk about the use of chemical deer attractants with Dr. Deer. He's been a longtime naysayer of using these products in the field, but recently he changed his tune, and we'll find out why. And then we'll also dissect his recent 9-page press release concerning the state of white-tailed deer in this country. And friends, some of this is very concerning. So you'll want to stay tuned for that, because it is very important that everyone understand the severity of the situation facing our white-tailed deer. So good stuff coming up with Dr. Deer. Then we'll talk wading birds such as herons and egrets with Texas Parks and Wildlife ornithologist Cliff Shackelford. We've got an interesting topic to cover concerning the relationship of these type of birds and anglers, because in many cases, these birds get a bad rap. Anglers think they're competing with them for game fish, when we should actually be using these birds to help us put more fish in the boat. And so we'll get into how these birds should actually be looked at as more of a friend than foe when it comes to that relationship between the angler and wading birds. And then we'll round out the broadcast today by talking some bow hunting with Jim Crane of Burt Coyote and Luminoc. To be honest, I'm not sure if there's been a product that has revolutionized the archery industry as much as the Luminoc has here in recent memory. So we'll discuss the history of the lighted nock, and we'll even give away a 3-pack of Luminox to one lucky listener this morning when Jim joins us here at the bottom of the hour. So that's what's on the schedule for today. Exciting stuff for sure. A couple other things to mention here. Don't forget about our September Photo of the Month contest, sponsored by CVA Muzzleloaders. We've got a CVA Wolf 50 caliber muzzleloader that we are giving away as our September Photo of the Month grand prize. All you have to do, send me your best outdoor photos. Actually, post them on our Facebook page, our Lone Star Outdoor Show Facebook page. That's the best way to do it. If you're not on Facebook, you can email me your best hunting or fishing photo to lonestaroutdoorshow@gmail.com. And then at the end of the month, we'll put all the photos on our website, let you guys and gals vote for your favorite. Whoever gets the most votes wins the CVA Wolf, and is also eligible for our 2014 Photo of the Year grand prize, where our 12 monthly winners square off for a chance to join me on our 2014 grand prize hunt package. It's an axis deer or black buck trophy hunt at Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. So be sure to send in your best outdoor photo for not only a chance to win a CVA muzzleloader this month, but also for the opportunity to hunt trophy axis deer or black buck with me at Coons Canyon Ranch. Let's go ahead and do a quick giveaway here. Lone Star Beer has been so good to us, and we are thrilled to have them as a presenting sponsor. We've got a ton of stuff to give away. And this morning, I've got a Lone Star Beer branded Game Guard camouflage shirt that we'll give away. And we'll throw in a Lone Star Beer Game Guard koozie and a sticker as well. So All I want you to do this morning is text in the words Lone Star Light. That's Lone Star Light to 214-289-7807. 214-289-7807. Text in Lone Star Light, which of course is available once again this fall in the Game Guard camo can. But anyway, everyone who texts in today will have their number put into the hat, and we will draw a lucky winner coming up here at the end of the weekend. So just text in Lone Star Light, and we'll get you entered into this morning's giveaway. Well, let's go ahead and knock out a quick break here. When we come back, we are talking whitetails, whitetails, and whitetails with Dr. Deer. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. This dream from dying out here on this honky-tonk road.
Out here on this honky-tonk road. Yeah, the lights are hot and the beer is cold. Out here on this honky-tonk road. Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at lonestaragcredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Whitetail season has come and gone, y'all, but that doesn't mean it's time to stop hunting. Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Military personnel, police, and firefighters get 10% off the total price. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Hey friends, Cable Smith here for DFW Safes. We all know that our guns are a big part of our lives, from grandfather's old 12-gauge to that trusty tack driver of a deer rifle. And DFW Safes is North Texas' premier safe dealer, specializing in Rhino, Bighorn, Huntsman, Heritage, and Fortress safes, to name a few. They're family-owned and operated and have over 24 years' experience in the safe and installation business. They even have commercial safes for your business and scratch-and-dent safes for the most frugal of gun owners. Visit DFWSafes.com to set up your delivery today. That's DFWSafes.com or call 817-715-1068. At LSC Trailer Sales, we offer a full line of utility trailers, from small single axle trailers to heavy equipment trailers, ATV trailers, car haulers, landscape trailers, cargo trailers, truck beds, and more. We can special order a custom trailer specific to your needs and have the ability to customize standard models in-house. LSC Trailer Sales is here to assist you with any questions you might have about trailers. Call 940-484-5500 or visit us at lsctrailersales.com. Finally, quality trailers at affordable prices in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Hi, I'm Hank Parker, and when I'm in Texas, I'm listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I shot your dog. He was on the property. Thought he was a coyote on the run. I've been missing some chicken, so I pulled the trigger. I feel so bad.
Great stuff there from Fred Eaglesmith, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I Shot Your Dogs, the name of that one there. I'm Cable Smith, by the way, thanking everybody for tuning in to today's presentation. We are all set to talk some whitetails here with our good friend Dr. Deer. But first, this segment is proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas premier seed company, offering anything and everything you need to keep your whitetail herd healthy and happy. So check them out at senderoseed.com. They've even got the Dr. Deer-backed buck forage oats. You can also call Rob Hughes at 1-877-610-SEED today. Sendero Seed Company for all your planting needs. Well, like I said, our first guest today joins us to talk whitetails. He joins us actually on a quarterly basis, and we have some very serious stuff to get into. So let's jump right into it. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. James Kroll, a.k.a. Dr. Deer, back to the show.
Well, it's always good to talk to you.
It certainly is our pleasure. It was great seeing you out at the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza in San Antonio last month.
Yeah, that was a good show. It was probably the biggest one they've had so far in San Antonio. That show seems to be growing.
Yeah, and they're actually adding a Corpus Christi show next year, so they'll have Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, and Corpus Christi extravaganzas.
Yeah, that'll allow them to add the fishing outfitters and the whole ocean fishing theme there. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
Uh huh. We've got some important stuff to get into today, and we'll start with fall planting, because I think there's a misconception out there. A lot of whitetail hunters might think it's too late to get those food plots in the ground, which really isn't the case.
No, it's not the case at all. It's right on time. One of the biggest mistakes folks make is to plant too early. You know, they go out there opening weekend of dove season, and they want to incorporate everything into that one visit, and that's too early. You need to wait, especially in Texas, the last week of September, mm-hmm. Before you plant.
Well, yeah, and I was looking at your website, and you guys had a big display of it, a video there at your booth at the Texas Trophy Hunter Show, but you had a live, basically video that you took of your, I think it was a pea food plot.
Yeah.
And it was from, what was it, from May until August? Or
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you could see the daily growth, and then you could see the deer coming in and out, and just that whole dynamic was pretty interesting to see.
Well, warm season planting, and that's really a cool thing, especially using the electric fences that, most of the time, that was a cowpea planting, and cowpeas do very well. They're probably as drought hardy as any summer plant would be. And what we did is put up our 3-strand electric fence, let it grow up till the time the deer needed it. And then we essentially have a gate in it. We just open the gate and let the deer go in and come and go. And then when they eat down to half of it, we'll close the gate, let it grow a little bit more, and then let them back in again.
Right. Pretty cool stuff there. But, changing gears here from planting to something else that's kind of new for you, because you've long been kind of outspoken about not using deer attractants, and yet
right.
I'm holding in my hand a box of Dr. Deer's The Stage deer attractant, which you gave
yeah.
me at the show. So what changed your stance after all these years?
Well, here's the way that happened. You know, I've been very critical of urine products, and I still am. I don't like urine products. And, having been, my early research when I was a grad student at Baylor was on pheromones, which are chemicals that an animal produces to influence behavior of another individual of that species. And, they're very complex chemicals, and their concentrations are very, very important. And just collecting urine is not a very good way to do that, because you can't regulate concentrations. And also, those chemicals go bad. So 3 years ago, I was approached about that and said, is it possible to actually identify the chemicals that are involved in staging behavior, which is the holy grail of deer hunting, and that's areas adjacent to where does are going to feed, where bucks come daily and or actually nightly and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, it's possible.
Fraternizing.
it's a social center. I mean, it just builds over time, and that was the name we gave it, staging, because the deer come there and stage. So basically, what happens there is there's signposts, and bucks use signposts, which are big, large rubs, and they deposit scent from the base of their antlers and the top of their forehead, which the chemicals come from their forehead, and they also deposit chemicals off their tarsal glands onto their forehead. And you know, as the rut develops, that whole area just becomes very scented up, and it's a social center where bucks and does come and they lay down and bed down and communicate with each other. So long story short, the challenges we had were to identify what chemicals it were, then identify what concentrations were necessary to actually elicit the kind of behavior we wanted. And I'll talk about that in a second. Then we need how are we going to deliver those compounds? And we had to come up with a delivery system, and then what was the best way to do that? And that took quite a bit of work. Took 2 years of work. It was a blind test. They would send me different concentrations, and then we would, using trail cameras, we would construct staging areas. And turns out our formula number 5 did totally duplicated staging behavior in deer. And what it does is, it's not one of those, you know, people advertise these attractant products. You know, you put it out and the deer come running to you, and that's totally ridiculous in the first place. But
buck bomb.
Yeah, buck. Yeah, different kinds of chemicals. You set it off, and the deer come right to you. But what happens here is that this is a very calming kind of a chemical communication system that brings the deer in. And you know, when you set it up and where a logical place where a staging area would be, their little packets are not bottles. I hate putting things in bottles, so they leak and they're horrible, and you know, they smell up everything you got. But these are little packets, and you can hang them around in the trees where signposts are, and then tear the bottom off of them. And one of the things I was very adamant about in the past, and very, one of my sources of my criticism, was that most of the chemicals don't last very long. Mm-hmm. Some of them in the realm of seconds. But with the right delivery system, we had a chemical company do an aging test for us, and those chemicals will last at least a year. So I was very pleased about that. Hmm. And then what you do is you set up a staging area. You get deer coming there. The bucks are going to arrive at night. So how in the heck are you going to hunt them, and what's the use of doing it that way? Well, once you've got them coming and hanging around and bedding down in that area, then using rub lines, you can hunt their approaches to those staging areas, because you want to hunt in the afternoon, you want to hunt well back from the staging area, and the deer are more than happy to tell you where that is. Just follow the rubs. Mm-hmm. And find a good spot where you can ambush them with wind direction, all that in play.
Right on, right on. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to trying it out. And it seems pretty innovative. So a lot of science and research went into it. So we will we'll take it for a spin this October. Yeah. and let you know our thoughts on it.
Right.
Shifting gears here, though, something else that you mentioned to me at the San Antonio show was that you're very concerned about the state of our deer herds, and you actually put out a recent press release, and this is no fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants deal. I mean, it's 9 pages, very in-depth, but it basically goes into, you know, the state of North America's crown jewel, which, of course, as far as hunting goes, is the white-tailed deer. And I'd really like to get into that with you next, Dr. Kroll, because it is very alarming. So are you okay to stick around for another segment?
You bet I am.
Perfect. And that segment, by the way, proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue, where you can stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner after the hunt and enjoy Rudy's true Texas-style barbecue. Y'all don't go anywhere. When we come back, we continue talking whitetails with Dr. Deer. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences, and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey, North Texas sports fans, this is Brian Spagnola, General Manager of Texas Motor Cars in Addison. My family's been in the car business for over 50 years, and I want to show you the difference in buying from a family-owned and operated business. TexasMotorCars.com is an awesome website that lets you do virtually all of your shopping online. We have a professional photographer that takes amazing photos, and we give you all the information that you'll need up front. You can even find out how much we will give you for your trade-in before you ever come in. I take pride in the fact you can come in, choose a car, and be out in less than an hour. We have financing rates starting at 1.79% on pre-owned vehicles and can help almost anybody. Please do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a pre-owned vehicle of any kind, give us a shot. Let me show you how easy buying a vehicle should be. Visit TexasMotorCars.com or come visit our 20,000-square-foot indoor showroom in Addison. Again, visit TexasMotorCars.com or call us at 1-888-9-TX-MOTORS.
Rockwall Marine is North Texas' premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of fishing boats anywhere. Mercury, Yamaha, Evinrude, Basscat, Alumacraft, and War Eagle, also specializing in all aspects of rigging, from power poles and electronics to motors and trolling motors. So whether you're looking for a new or used boat, parts or service, Rockwall Marine is your one-stop boating center and the nation's number one Basscat dealer in 2013. Call Tommy Yetz at 972-771-4442 or visit rockwallmarine.com.
Hi, y'all. This is Sheridan Daniels. I want to thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Call up Trudy on the telephone. Send a letter in the mail. Tell I'm hung up in Dallas. They won't let me out of this jail.
There's a classic from the Charlie Daniels Band bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. Trudy is the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, by the way. Thank you so much for being here with me today as we are rocking and rolling, talking some white tails with our good friend Dr. James Kroll, a.k.a. Dr. Deer. But before we pick it back up with him, this segment of the presentation brought to you by Dallas Safari Club, the worldwide leader in big game conservation based out of Dallas, Texas. To get involved with this great organization of like-minded folks, visit biggame.org. Well, let's go ahead and continue talking white-tailed deer here with Dr. James Kroll. And you know, Dr. Deer, when we were visiting at the San Antonio, Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza, you mentioned to me that you were very concerned about the state of our nation's white-tailed deer populations. And people think white-tailed deer, they, you know, it's common knowledge that there's more deer in North America right now than at, you know, there ever has been, or at least, you know, up until a couple of years ago, that was the truth. Now we are seeing a steady decline, and it's one that has you very concerned, so much so that you just put out a 9-page press release talking about the issue and reasons why our whitetail herd is declining. I'm going to let you pick it up here and kind of elaborate on this very real issue that is facing the most managed and probably mismanaged species on the face of the earth, the crown jewel of North American hunting, the white-tailed deer.
Right. And I've been warning about this for a long time. What's happened is that we as a profession, professional wildlife biologists, whitetail biologists, we've been obsessed on restoring whitetail deer, and we never gave any thought to managing them. And the misconception has emerged among especially professional biologists that whitetail deer, you know, are just you know, pests that, you know, that breed and reproduce no matter what. And that's not the case, but that they are highly dependent on their habitat. There are disease issues involved, and predator populations are increasing at unprecedented levels. And then, you know, habitat's deteriorating.
Hmm.
and the state agencies have been managing, basically they judge quality management by body count. You know, you saw over the last 20 years, record harvest, record harvest, record harvest. Well, that can't go on forever. And a lot of things have started to come together. We lost, because of the hemorrhagic disease alone, we probably lost at least 12 to 20% of our deer herd in at least 30 states, probably more than 30 states.
Mm-hmm.
And deer populations are declining. And what's interesting is that it's not just in whitetails. We're seeing a decline in blacktail populations. We're seeing an even more serious decline in mule deer populations. It's because the especially state agencies have been managing the deer, just the population aspect of it, just the harvest. They think deer management is setting seasons of bag limits, and deer management is about habitat management and a whole bunch of factors, especially collecting quality data, and a lot of these states don't have any data.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a big reason why mule deer reporting here in Texas anyway is so important, because we need everyone to turn in those mule deers and whitetails, especially in the West Texas area, mm-hmm. where disease is prevalent. But our Texas mm-hmm. Parks and Wildlife Department is trying to keep get a handle on that, so folks need to comply with those regulations. But mm-hmm. it is a real threat. But for the whitetail hunter in Texas, they're looking at what's going on in Wisconsin. And it's the same thing when you talk about gun control. It's like, well, stuff like that could never happen in Texas. And there's a real apathetic attitude towards, what's going on in Colorado or New York. We don't give a crap. Well, I do give a crap, because, yeah. And I think it's the same thing with whitetails. I think people exactly. need to take notice of what's happening in other states. Yeah, we might not have it that bad in Texas, but, it could change in, a moment's time.
Yeah, and it's already changing. The last 5 years in Texas, our harvest has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had a decline in harvest for the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to come home to roost here too. The reason that it's not happening as quickly in Texas is because we have so much private land and we have so much private land management. That's one of the problems we saw in Wisconsin is that the agency totally ignored the private landowner in the equation. And in Texas, I mean, we're the birthplace of deer management. We've still got folks managing deer, but even here, we're seeing harvest declines.
Yeah, okay, well, that's pretty clear then. There's a real strong disconnect between state agencies and private landowners, and especially here in Texas. I mean, most of the deer, probably over 95% of them, live on private land. So
yeah, nationwide, 80% of the deer live on 60% of the land.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. So as far as are there any other issues there? You list off 7 points or so, 8 points in mm-hmm. the piece, and mm-hmm. Maybe some other notes there that you'd want to mention about this issue.
Yeah, there's two really I'd like to talk about. One is that this hysteria over chronic wasting disease has cost us dearly, in that it has taken the interest and emphasis away from the true issues of deer management. And not keep going back to Wisconsin, but I know a lot about it, and they're a good bad example of that. They spent over $30 million trying to eradicate a disease that, when it all said and done, and as deer trustee of Wisconsin, one of the first things I asked for was, give me all the data on deer deaths in Wisconsin due to chronic wasting disease. We had none. It really wasn't demonstrable, and there's not one single scientific study that has shown or documented a herd decline over chronic wasting disease. But yet, look at the hysteria over it. You go up on the other side of that when you talk about hemorrhagic disease. Now we're talking about a different story altogether.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a ton of deer last year throughout the country. At least 90% of the deer are in the Milk River Valley in Montana. We had deer losses all the way into Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois. Illinois' population is way, way down because hemorrhagic disease and other things. Then the other thing I'd like to point out And this is finally being recognized by professional deer biologists, is the role of predators in all this, is when you combine all these things together, all of a sudden we're not seeing the recruitment we used to see. And coyotes are a huge problem in the southeast now, up in the north, the northeast. We're seeing bear populations increasing dramatically in a lot of states, and they are specialized fawn predators. So you've got them, you've got now, I've said for years bobcats were an issue, and now, and everybody said no, they're not, and now we're finding out they are. And then you've got the wolf, and the wolf populations are growing at 400% a year, and they are probably the most proficient deer predators next to man there are, and maybe even better than us.
Oh yeah.
So when you, you know, you start adding up the impact of all of these predators, plus the impact of disease, hemorrhagic disease, plus the impact of deteriorating habitat, all of a sudden now those herds are starting to, we're starting to see recruitment go down and the herd harvest going down.
And on the wolf front, when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service erroneously, you know, reintroduced this species, in my opinion, and I'm not for eradicating the wolf, but I am for managing them, and they introduced a species. They didn't reintroduce the right species. They introduced the Canadian timber wolf, which is bigger, faster, stronger, eats more, has bigger packs than the Rocky Mountain wolf that once inhabited most of those those places here in the United States anyway.
Yeah, and there's a lot of misconceptions about predators, you know, but they are an animal. You know, I'm with you. I'm not for eradicating predators. I like predators,
mm-hmm.
But they have to be managed. They're part of that deer forest ecosystem, and they have to be managed. And they're a game animal. They have to be treated like a game animal, like deer, like all the other large animals out there. They're, you know, but we've made we've turned them into very special creatures that we can't hunt. And
it blows my mind. I post a picture of a dead coyote or someone kills a mountain lion, sends me a picture of it, put it on Facebook, and all the anti's like, don't kill predators, don't kill predators. I'm like, you stupid idiot, you know? They're just like any other animal. We don't want to, that's the thing, that they think we're just bloodthirsty, you know, shoot anything that moves. What? That's the beauty of being an outdoorsman, is you watch all the other wildlife that's out there and appreciate it.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill them all, but we don't want them to kill all the deer either.
No, we have to manage the total ecosystem.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a trend in professional wildlife biologists, and that is less and less of them hunt, and more of them grew up under the Discovery Channel Animal Planet mentality, and they want wolves because they really don't like hunters, you know, and hunters pay bills.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. Well, you know, I guess that's probably good for today, as we're about out of time here, but certainly do appreciate it. Of course, I'll let you plug the website, TV show, and Facebook real quick before we get out of here.
Yeah, go to drdeer.com, and I love hearing from everybody, and everybody's amazed when they find out I actually answer all their emails. And of course, North American Whitetail is filming our 12th season this year, so keep watching North American Whitetail. We're excited about it just as much as when we started.
Awesome. Yeah, North American Whitetail airs Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Central on Sportsman's Channel, so y'all be sure to set those DVRs. Dr. Kroll, always great to visit with you. Thanks to our buddy Rob Hughes over at Sendero Seed Company for always setting up our quarterly whitetail discussions. We appreciate him as well, and we look forward to our next visit.
Yeah, always good to talk to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes, Dr. James Kroll, a.k.a. Dr. Deer, jack of all trades. Of course, you can find him on North American Whitetail Television, among other outlets. Check out his Facebook page, Dr. Deer, as well. Let's knock out a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk some fishing with Texas Parks and Wildlife ornithologist Cliff Shackelford. What's an ornithologist? Well, it's someone who studies birds. What does that have to do with fishing? Well, find the birds, find the fish. We'll explain how great blue herons and other wading birds can oftentimes be the angler's best friend. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
turned every head in town. She was built and fond.
Cable Smith here with my good friend Craig Smith, owner of Game Guard Outdoors. And you know, Craig, Game Guard camouflage has been concealing Texas hunters for over a decade now. And this fall, we're equally as excited about the brand new and revolutionary Gulf Coast Cooler, the first modular cooler system ever to hit the market.
Yeah, Cable, we're excited about it. It truly is a modular system. And now a guy doesn't have to have three or four different coolers. He can have one cooler that he can attach another one to it. We have wheel attachments that snap onto the cooler to get it to and from the boat, and with a lot more attachments to follow this season.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to using ours in the field this fall.
And Cable, we want to thank our customers again. This is our 11th season, and things just keep getting better, and we appreciate every one of them.
Well, we appreciate you, Craig, and for more information, y'all visit GulfCoastCooler.com. Lone Star 4x4 has everything you need to customize your Jeep, truck, or SUV the way you want it. They install lift kits, leveling kits, wheels, tires, bed liners, as well as color match spray line accessories, full exterior sprayed vehicles, fenders, steps, LED lights, light bars, car audio, brush guards, steel bumpers, goosenecks, toolboxes, performance exhaust, you name it, they have it. No job is too big or too small at Lone Star 4x4. Call 940-484-5500 or visit LoneStar4x4.com. That's LoneStar4by4.com, or check out their most recent builds on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in the old sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
It's been a damn long day and I'm still tired, got miles of road to go. This cup of coffee keeping me wired and the windshield's getting cold. And I'll be damned if I'm getting any more used to this being alone.
All right, Cable Smith welcoming everybody back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show presented by Lone Star Beer and our good friends over at Hoff Power Polaris. Songs on the Radio, one of my favorites from No Justice right there. Hope everybody's having a great weekend so far. Thank you for letting me ride shotgun with you this morning as we're about to discuss the interesting dynamic between anglers and wading birds such as herons and egrets. But first, this segment is brought to you by STI Guns, a Texas tradition. They're based out of Georgetown. Employee-owned and operated, they offer a full line of 1911 and 2011 style pistols in all manner of calibers. So if you're in the market for a new handgun, I highly recommend that you do what I did and visit STIGuns.com and go Texan for your next handgun purchase. Go STI. Well, let's go ahead now and bring on our next guest. He's a longtime ornithologist for Texas Parks and Wildlife, and we'll tell you what that means here momentarily. We've got a great topic to get into, so it's my pleasure to welcome Cliff Shackelford to the program.
Thank you.
Well, it certainly is our pleasure, Cliff. And I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about your responsibilities as an ornithologist with Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Well, I appreciate being invited to be on your radio show. And first of all, an ornithologist is one who studies birds. And so I'm basically a bird biologist, and I deal with the non-game birds that come across Parks and Wildlife, so the species that you cannot hunt. So I have equivalents that do waterfowl and turkey and dove and quail, et cetera, but I have everything else, songbirds, owls, woodpeckers, sparrows, things like that, and herons and egrets. So I deal with those non-game birds and whatever comes along, like this interview, when someone wants to talk about what these birds do in our environment and how they might benefit us or not.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, actually, one of my best friends, I think he did his thesis on, and I'm sure you're very hands-on with these species, but I think it was the black-capped vireo, maybe a golden-cheeked warbler or something.
Uh-huh.
And obviously I think they're endangered or
threatened. Yeah, those are both Central Texas species. So hill country species with the black-capped vireo and the golden-cheeked warbler, they're both endangered species like you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And they're in the Austin, San Antonio, and west of. So they're in that beautiful hill country.
Yeah, our friend David Morgan, he was getting his master's at, I think it was Texas State there, and he was he was spent a lot of time studying those species. So and you know, going back to before I, you know, really started hunting when I was a kid, you know, my dad and I, we had the Birds of North America book, and we bird watched, you know, so I do have a little bit of a background in that, and I've always been fascinated by it.
Yeah. And I'm also a bird hunter. So I've got two duck bands on my keychain in my pocket that I've shot some banded ducks. So I'm a bird hunter and a bird watcher.
Right on.
Which isn't really, I don't think, a conflict of interest, because, you know, when you're out there doing either duck bird hunting or bird watching, you're always, you know, especially when you're bird hunting, you're always looking at other stuff, because you're, first of all, you got to make sure, is that a dove coming or a scissor-tail flycatcher, because you're only allowed to shoot one of those two species on a dove hunt.
Yeah.
But I do like to bird hunt, wing shoot, and have a good time with that. BB gun is what got me started as a kid. You know, I was a little John James Audubon, and unknowingly shooting just about anything that came inside. I had rules of what I wouldn't shoot, but, you know, I'm not proud of it now. I'm sure a game warden would like to put me across his knee, but and that was, you know, 40 years ago, but it shaped me to what I am today. I got a better appreciation and interest in the outdoors because of that. I saw the details, and I paid attention, and the thing is, today most kids are plugged into something indoors, and it's got to be electronic, and that's a shame. So even though I know BB guns are bad, I think we need to figure out something like that to get kids more engaged in the outdoors.
Oh, the world definitely needs more BB guns and less Xboxes.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be a better place for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's part of being an outdoorsman, though. I mean, a lot of people probably aren't as invested in it as others, but you're sitting in the deer blind, and nothing's coming to the feeder, but, you know, you look up and there's 10 cardinals sitting there.
Yes.
And then you start counting, how many cardinals can I count at one time, you know? And you know, that's part of being an outdoorsman, is you observe it. And it's not just the sights of birds, it's the sounds too. And I think everybody that spends any amount of time outdoors loves songbirds.
And actually, speaking of that, Parks and Wildlife put together a booklet back in 2009 called Birding from the Deer Blind, and it has some of the more common birds that you might encounter while you're sitting there waiting for the buck to come in, and you're distracted by this little bird that might be scratching the leaf litter or singing above your blind, and it's kind of a handy little booklet that people can find online that would be helpful when they're wondering, well, what kind of woodpecker is that, or what kind of songbird is that, because that's, I think, another way to get engaged with the outdoors. You might go out there with the intent to hunt deer, But all of a sudden, you're looking at the trees, you're looking at the birds, and you're learning a lot. And that's, to me, that's the fun part, is, you know, getting this, going through this gateway to this whole other world that's out there. And that's, I think, hunting gets me out of bed earlier than bird watching does, because for duck hunting, for example, you got to get out there early.
Oh, yeah.
And get set up. With bird watching, you're like, oh, I can sleep a little longer. Oh, I can wait a little longer. But you can't do that with hunting, and it really gets you out early. And I think that's really essential, to get out early and see what things are doing at dawn and when they're waking up. And you have it's just a beautiful time to be out.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. Well, I know you've been at this for some time. You mentioned off the air you've been an ornithologist for TPWD for 17 years now. And I recently found out about you through an article in Lone Star Outdoor News written by our friend Steve Schwartz. And I want to get into that now. And
sure.
And it really dives into the topic of herons and how their behavior and feeding patterns can benefit anglers, especially during the heat of like July, August, and early September. So why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what species of herons, you know, we're talking about? Obviously, the great blue heron is a year-round resident of Texas. And then one that I encounter a lot, especially around golf courses that I bass fish, is the, I think it's the little green heron.
Just simply known as green heron.
Just the green heron, but it is very little.
It is very little. Actually, it's our smallest heron.
Uh-huh.
And we have several species of herons and egrets in Texas. And you name the biggest, the great blue, and the smallest, the green heron. And there's several other species in between. We've got little blue heron, snowy egret. Most people know cattle egret. They're the most atypical because they're not usually near water. They're up in the uplands. Following cattle around, people think they eat ticks off the cows. Well, what they're doing is when that cow moves, he's stomping and his shadow moves and it scares insects. And the cattle egret's there to see when that grasshopper gets flushed. He's there to grab him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eating stuff that the cow scares and makes their presence known, and the cattle egret pounces on
mm-hmm.
that prey item. So it could even be a mouse, but it's typically large insects like grasshoppers.
Right.
Is what they're after. So, but the others are usually associated with wetlands of any kind. I mean, even the little ditches on the sides of the road, you can have a great look at a great blue heron while you're driving 65 miles an hour down the highway. They're right there in the ditches on the side of the road. And a lot of people call the great blue heron by its colloquial name, which is blue crane. And old timers call them blue cranes, but there's no crane that's blue that we have that's called blue crane. It's actually a heron, great blue heron. And so they're usually eating things associated with wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
It could be crayfish, frogs, fish. They'll even eat snakes. All these herons and egrets, they'll eat anything that's near the water.
So why should anglers pay attention to what these birds are doing?
Well, I sometimes you can use birds to find it where the fish are hanging out. And so some people will look to see where the herons are if they can get their shallow boat into that area, and there might be fish biting in that area there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, some people also use cormorants to find out where the fish are. They're usually where the shad might be schooling. And that's where the big bass are coming in. So you might be able to catch something in and around the cormorants as well.
Right, right. Well, so, and yeah, and that's the interesting thing is that, so these herons are, I mean, fish isn't even the majority of their diet. Yeah, they eat fish, but they're actually eating the bait fish that the game fish that anglers would be pursuing, you know, would be targeting, you know, so you find some herons, they're probably feeding on the shad or small, you know, maybe small perch. Then we've got crappie and sand bass that are feeding on those species, and it's just, you know, that chain reaction.
Yeah. And a lot of anglers are, you know, feel the competition and they don't appreciate having that competition. They don't like another angler next to them either, do they? you want the honey hole to be your own, but the unfortunate thing is that for that person, they got to realize they're not the only one out there. with bait and tackle or with the desire to eat fish. So you've got other fishermen out there too, and you've got other critters, even belted kingfishers and osprey and bald eagles. I mean, there are a lot of things that eat fish that, you know, you can either appreciate or not appreciate. But I think most people realize that it's technique to catch fish, and it's sometimes luck, a little bit of both. And there's typically enough to go around for everybody.
Well, yeah, and in the article, Stephen, he interviews a crappie guide from Richland Chambers Lake, and this crappie guide said he swears by, you know, looking, especially during the summer, looking for blue herons and find, because those bait fish are going to be up shallow, then the predatory, you know, game fish are going to be right behind them. So it's probably, you know, sound logic and a good practice, you know, find a blue heron, you're probably going to be right around at least a bunch of bait fish.
That's right.
And and you mentioned the belted kingfisher. I can't tell you how many times I've been duck hunting and seen one out of the corner of my eye and think, oh, cool, here, you know, here comes a teal. And then, you know, very quickly, it's the same color. They don't fly at all the same, but, you know, but that's also a cool bird to observe from the duck blind.
Yeah. And there's nothing cooler than seeing one hovering perfectly still as far as not moving except beating its wings, hovering, and then diving straight down because it's looking, and then it attacks and goes after a fish. And they're over most Texas waters, and I think most people see them on wires or stobs, but they're really neat to watch. Kingfishers are exciting to watch.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing, and I wasn't planning on and talking about this, but since you brought up cormorants, we actually interviewed someone from the South Carolina Game and Fish Division a couple months ago, and they had a cormorant hunt last year, removal program, and they had it on two reservoirs, and they removed over 15,000 cormorants in a 1 month period, and I just figured I'd get your take on that because.
Yeah, that was the first of its kind. They tried to stay away from the word hunt.
Yeah, well, it was called like a volunteer removal plan.
It was part of a depredation order.
Yeah.
So, and they did get a lot of takers in that process there in South Carolina, as you mentioned, on those two lakes there. And
is that necessary in Texas? I mean,
I don't think you're ever going to make a dent in the numbers of cormorant. There are so many, and they move around from lake to lake on a daily basis or at least weekly. So you might think, well, we just collected 15,000 cormorants, but let me tell you, there's another 100,000 on the coast of South Carolina that are going to be moving inland and looking for those waters that are productive. So I think if you did something nationally, you could make a dent, but when it's just the onesies or twosies doing that, it might make you feel good when you're doing it, but you're gonna be impressed the next year. You're gonna be like, well, where did they all come from? Well, you basically opened up an opening. It's like a vacancy sign all of a sudden too, and so there'll be plenty more cormorants replacing it. Every one cormorant you take, there's gonna be 10 more to replace it. We just have that many numbers, and a lot of that's created by us. We put in all these reservoirs. You know, if you put a boat with a motor on any water in Texas that's not a river, that's not the Gulf, it's 99% of the time it is man-made. So we've done this. We've created the problem.
That's an interesting topic, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. And we could spend an hour talking about it. And I'm not pro-cormorants. I'm not against cormorants. It's just an interesting subject, and the poor bird gets a bad rap often.
Well, anglers clearly don't care for them.
No.
And duck hunters, we see them all the time, but are kind of indifferent.
That's right.
But Cliff, just wrapping things up here today, I know that you're a fellow radio show host. If folks want to check out your show or podcast, where can they do so?
Okay. I host it's called Bird Calls. It's on Red River Radio. That's the NPR National Public Radio station out of Shreveport. And I work for Texas, but that Shreveport station also airs in East Texas, much of Louisiana, parts of Arkansas, and parts of Mississippi. So Where I live in Nacogdoches, that's our NPR station. And so, but for me to be on the show, I drive to Shreveport and it airs live. And it's a question and answer call in radio show, kind of like Click and Clack, where you call in with your problems with your car or your questions about your car. Well, instead you talk about birds. And
sure.
So I field questions about, hey, what's this bird? And they'll describe it, or they'll send in a photograph or have a sound recording they'll play. And then we talk about it.
Or how do I get these barn owls out of my deer blind in South Texas?
Yes, exactly. So, and just little tips on how you can, you know, be a better conservationist for birds. Google NPR Red River Radio bird calls, and there people can learn more about it.
Excellent. Well, hey, Cliff, it's been great visiting with you and getting to know you a little bit this morning. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll have to do it again in the future.
Hey, thanks so much, Cable.
All right, there he goes, Texas Parks and Wildlife ornithologist Cliff Shackelford. And, man, we got all over the map there. Supposed to be talking how wading birds like herons and egrets can help us find fish as anglers, but we did cover that. Among other things. Hope you all enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Crane of Burt Coyote and the amazing Luminoc, a product that has truly revolutionized the archery industry and the way that we hunt and recover animals that have been hit with a bow and arrow. Also, it's changed the way that we view outdoor television as far as archery shots are concerned. So, cool stuff coming up with Jim Crane, and we'll actually give away a 3-pack of Luminox in the next segment as well. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I cut me a cane pole. I'm going catfish fishing. I'm going catfish fishing.
The Central Flyway migration of ducks and geese is gonna be epic. And if your trigger finger is getting that itch, then give Ed Hansen of Hansen Outdoors a call. Now booking trips in the Northeast Texas area. Hunt lakes like Cooper or Lake Fork for $150 a gun, or hunt Ed's private honey holes for $200 a gun. You'll also enjoy amazing dog work with Retriever Champion Led. Isn't that right, Led? Visit HansenOutdoors.net to book your trip today or give Ed a call at 903-521-4595. Kids under 15, hunt free. Hansen Outdoors also now booking September dove and early teal trips.
Rockwall Gun Club is North Texas' premier shooting facility, offering both indoor and outdoor ranges, including a unique 500-yard rifle range. If shotgunning's your thing, then check out the 18-station clay course. Opening summer 2014, Rockwall Gun Club is offering special introductory, family, and corporate membership rates for founding members. Located at 15950 State Highway 205, you can also visit rockwallgunclub.com or call 972-215-6902. Rockwall Gun Club, the private shooting experience.
At Frost, we could talk to you about our 24/7 online banking. Or we could talk to you about our more than 1,100 ATMs across Texas. We can even talk to you about our mobile banking app that lets you pay bills, transfer funds, and deposit checks from anywhere. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we enjoy more than to just talk to you.
Thank you for calling Frost. How may I help you?
We're here with the technology and convenience you want and the service you deserve. Frost. Banking, investments, insurance.
If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Larson Electronics is a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. And while they continue to support our troops, they also now have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID Camouflage Go Light Striker with remote that's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting, they also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. Visit LarsonElectronics.com and go Texan with Larson Electronics for all your lighting needs.
He leaves rustle, a big buck walks
us out below. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, as I let that arrow go. It is well. It is well with my soul.
It is well. Awesome spin on a classic religious hymn there from Steve Conover, bringing us back on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. So glad to be here with you today. It is well indeed, as we're about to talk some archery. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by Pope Brothers Guide Service and Outfitting. If you want to hunt it in Texas, I suggest you give Pope Brothers a call. Everything from whitetails to trophy exotics to antelope, like the hunt I'm going on here with Pope Brothers in 2 weeks. Super excited about that. Anyway, check them out at huntsintexas.com to book your Texas trophy hunt today. Well, moving along here, let's go ahead and bring on our next guest. We've got a product to dive into that everybody's familiar with. If you're a bow hunter, you know what a Luminoc is. Lighted nocks are something that have revolutionized the archery industry. And here to talk some bow hunting with us, it's my pleasure to welcome Bert Coyotes and Luminox Jim Crane to the show.
How you doing today, Cable? Glad to be here.
Well, we appreciate you, and man, I am doing great, Jim. Can't complain. We've got dove season, early teal, resident Canada geese all underway, and our Texas archery season is fast approaching, coming up here on the 27th. What about you, Jim? When does your archery season kick off?
Well, we're located here in central Illinois, and archery kicks off October 1st. Everybody's starting to get geared up a little bit for it.
Oh, yeah. I imagine so, my friend. And, you know, actually, I've been enjoying shooting the Luminox and practicing with them in preparation for our New Mexico elk hunt, which we just returned from. And actually, the Lumen Arrow as well is something you were able to send over to us and really been pleased with its performance. Didn't get to stick a big bull, but had some close encounters. It was a great hunt. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the history of the Luminoc and the parent company, Bert Coyote.
All right. Well, funny, just listening to you give an intro right there. You mentioned you've enjoyed practicing with them. Well, that's a key statement that you made. They're not just for hunting. I mean, they're for helping you tune your bow, making sure your arrows are flying correctly, in case you need some adjustments, especially, you know, with the compound bows. And that's one stress point. You know, once in a while we get some phone calls, hey, you know, I don't know if I want to practice with these. Do you guys make a practice knock? And I'm like, no, you can shoot them hundreds, thousands of times. We also have replaceable battery capabilities. And as far as I'm concerned, you'd ought to shoot one every time you shoot, not just because you can see your arrow, but it kind of makes shooting a little more fun, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. And I also love the fact that, you know, once you put that first arrow in your target, then you've got a lighted bullseye to aim at.
You bet. Now, getting back to your original question for me was you kind of wanted me to describe the how Luminoc got started in the first place.
And,
I guess the best way to answer that is kind of tell the story as it's been passed down here from the two Price brothers started it. And what sparked it was Kurt had been out hunting, bow hunting, and he had shot at a pretty nice buck as it was getting, you know, close to dark in that magic time there. And when he got down, his dad had always taught him and his brother, you know, you've got to find your arrow, make sure that you missed or what kind of a hit you got or whatever. Well, he was in one of his best stands, and he tromped and tromped and tromped all around trying to find the arrow, and he finally did find it, but he'd pretty much ruined that stand for quite some time, in his mind anyway. So on the way back to town, he was thinking, you know, maybe if that had some kind of a light on it, and at the time these guys were making bank poles for fishing that lit up when they had bites on them. So he was thinking if they could come up with some kind of a light or a chemical knock or something that would light the arrow up on when they shot it. So he stopped by his brother's, Eric's pretty much the engineer here as far as his design and keeping our machines going and things like that. So he has the engineer mindset. Kurt a lot of times has the ideas, and Eric is able to bring them 360, and that's kind of what they did. Eric says, well, we don't want to go with a chemical one. He goes, let's go to Radio Shack and get some components, and we'll make something. So they did, and 17 prototypes later, we had the start of Luminar.
Wow, okay. Well, yeah, and that kind of was my next question was, and you answered it already, but what was the main goal? Aero recovery or videography appeal? Because that's, you know, as time has progressed, I mean, that's been something that's been huge because you can just see the flight of the arrow on all the, you know, outdoor hunting shows. And I know that's been, you know, a big part of things as well.
Well, kind of, and, you know, I mean, if I had Kurt and Eric here, they might tell you a little something different. But my understanding at the time, I was doing quite a bit of filming and stuff with Tim Wells, who mm-hmm. hosts Relentless Pursuit TV. And Tim lives about 20 minutes from the Luminoc, building here in Yates
Tim
City,
probably
Illinois.
Goes through more Luminocs than anybody else out there.
Yeah, he's definitely our biggest expense as far as Luminoc expense. But anyway, these guys started shooting what they'd created, and they'd came to Tim, and they'd also talked to Matt Moore from Closing the Distance. And those guys were some of the first ones to start shooting them on TV. And it's such a visible product. Everybody's seen it and thought it was neat. And as it kept developing, everybody realized, hey, this is a good tool to help us tune our equipment, see our arrow flight. Because you always hear Ted Nugent, the mystical flight of the arrow. Mm-hmm. And then Ted's been a long supporter of Luminoc for a lot of reasons. One, with today's modern equipment, especially the compound bows and the crossbows that are starting to sweep the country, you can't really see 100% of the time where your arrow hits because this equipment is getting so many feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
And with the help of a Luminoc, you know where you hit that animal and can make a better decision on how to track it, whether you need to go right after it, let it set overnight, whatever. And you also have a lot higher percentage of recovering your arrow after the shot to see what you're dealing with there as well.
And, I mean, let's be honest, arrows, broadheads, they're expensive too. So,
well, there you go along with the practice, because I know myself, speaking for myself, I've got a couple 3D targets there in my backyard. And when I get home in the evenings, I'll pull out a bow and do a little bit of shooting, and I'll find myself back there at 70 yards launching some arrows, and there's a few of them that get skipped off the back of the 3D target or go underneath of it, and they'll end up out in the field, and I'll look around. If I don't find them, I'll come back at 10:30 at night, walk out there, and I've recovered many an arrow late at night just because of the Luminoc, so they can save you some pretty good money.
Yeah, although, you know, it sounds like I need to get a setup like yours, because unfortunately, my 3D target, there's a fence that the neighbor and I share right there, and we won't tell them, but who knows how many broadheads and field points are broke off in that fence. But it's quite a few.
There you go.
Well, as far as the Lumen Arrow goes, that's also what we're shooting. Actually, loving the flight of the arrow and the consistency that I'm getting out of these arrows. But I'll let you talk a little bit about them as well.
Of course. We're a lighted nock manufacturer, not really an arrow manufacturer, but we have our arrows produced for us to our specifications by Victory. They're 100% carbon. A couple reasons we actually got into that was to prove a point that if you do some particular things to an arrow, you can make it more accurate. Thus, it makes the function of the Luminoc much better, and it's just a better package when put together. All of our Luminaros are the spine is marked on every arrow, which is the it's where it's made. It's the stiffest part around the diameter of the arrow, and our fletching, the cock vane, is opposite of the spine on every one of our arrows, which gives it consistency. So it's coming off the bow the same every time. Plus, we hand square the back end of the arrows. We have a tool called the FAST tool, Fletched Arrow Squaring Tool, which makes sure the factory cut ends sometimes aren't perfect, and even some of the best bow saws out there won't cut an arrow completely straight. If you square the back of it, you're going to have better consistency. What we try to do, you know, people for years have always numbered their fletchings because this arrow will fly better than that arrow. Well, we have done enough testing here to know that if you square the back of your shafts and also fletch them according to the spine, you're going to have a lot tighter and more consistent pattern, and that's why we do this to our arrows. Plus, on the crossbow side of things, we offer 20 and 22-inch bolts in half moon, crescent, or now the capture-style nock as well, in red, pink, and green. And the reason we offer in a full bolt assembly, some of the bolt ends are glued in, and it can be difficult to get those pulled out. But we also square them, which I think is very, very important with the crossbow, to have square bolt ends, just not only for accuracy but for safety.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things with our arrows. I'm sure I've missed a couple things. They are ice coated to make them a little easier pulling out of targets too.
Awesome. Well, I've been very impressed with the Lumen arrows. I mean, it's so important to recover your arrow in the hunting application, as well as, you know, practice. Like we said, it saves you so much money, 20, 30 bucks a pop if you lose an arrow. That's, you know, that adds up. And then from a videography standpoint, it's very visually pleasing to see that flight of the arrow on camera. And then for tuning, it's easy to track the flight of your arrow and make adjustments to your bow based on what you see there as well. So can't say enough good things about the Luminoc. And, Jim, we've actually got a 3-pack to give away today. We're going to do that here momentarily, and I believe we're just going to have whichever listener wins send you their arrow dimensions, and you'll ship out a 3-pack of Luminox to them.
You bet. As long as we know what make and model arrow they're shooting, to make sure we get the right Luminox to fit their arrow, we'll send out a sticker and one of our little instructional DVDs. That way, if you get ready to replace a battery or prepare your shaft, it shows a lot of neat things on that video as well. One thing I would like to mention for the listeners out there who haven't seen it or didn't know that Pope and Young just recently accepted the use of lighted nocks for their animals. It's always been a pretty controversial thing over
such
the years.
Such backwards
too.
Thinking.
Well. You know, and I'm glad to see the new officers and everything are moving forward, and I think have a real open mind to today's archery industry overall, but yet, you know, try to conserve what Pope and Young had intended for the club to be in the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to that giveaway, yeah, we'd love to give some knocks out to one of your listeners here on the show, and just need to get the make and model and where to send them, and we'll get them hooked up.
Right on. And so let's do that right now. We'll keep it simple. All you have to do is text in the word archery. That's archery to 214-289-7807. Text in archery to 214-289-7807. We'll put all of the entries into the hat and randomly draw a lucky winner. Get those Luminox sent out to you. Jim, thanks so much for your time today, brother. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, and I sure appreciate talking with you today. And anytime you want to talk archery or Luminox or whatever, give me a shout.
Well, we will certainly do it. There he goes, our friend Jim Crane from Burt Coyote and Luminox. You can visit their website at burtcoyote.com. Also, find Luminoc on Facebook if you want to follow along on social media. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Got to get out of here. Thanks to Jim as well as our other guests today, Dr. Deer and Texas Parks and Wildlife's Cliff Shackelford. We'll do it again, same time, same place next weekend. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
If I wasn't born on the wrong side of the tracks, I never would have felt this way. Promising each other we would always stay true. Just two kids dreaming away life like fools.
Hey y'all, Chris Letzinger, online sales manager at Cinnamon Creek Ranch here, reminding you we're not your typical archery club. We're a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, full pro shop, and six different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters. Located in Roanoke, Texas, we have over 200 3D targets to hone your archery skills. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com to visit our new online store. That's CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Cable Smith here for The Seat Shop. That outdoor lifestyle we all love, yeah, it can be pretty rough on the interior of our trucks. That's why I trust my friends at The Seat Shop. Is your driver's seat ripped where you slide in and out of your truck or SUV? They can replace that one cover, and the new leather is guaranteed to match your factory interior. Or if you want to overhaul your full front row or your entire interior like I did, The Seat Shop can definitely take care of you. And if you're looking for something to protect your leather, they've got the new Carhartt seat covers as well. Perfect for hauling gear, guns, and dogs around. Guys, The Seat Shop is a great family-owned company who really knows their stuff, and their old-fashioned customer service is a hard thing to find these days. I had a great time working with them, and I know you will too. So visit theseatshop.com or give them a call at 214-710-2565 today.
If you're in the market for a compact track loader, then check out the Bobcat Advantage, where Bobcat track loaders squared off against other brands in a variety of tests and challenges. Whether you're looking for performance advantages, uptime protection, or quality design, Bobcat compact track loaders are the best built machines in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Watch the videos at BobcatAdvantage.com or see Bobcat machines in person at Bobcat of Dallas, Louisville, Bobcat of Fort Worth, and Bobcat of Longview. Visit BobcatOfDallas.com or call 469-586-0000 today.